Thanks for tuning in to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast, where we talk about your body, how it moves, and empowering you with the knowledge to manage and treat your pain or discomfort. You will also get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at a successful private practice. You have the questions, and we have the answers. Now let's get moving.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And your co-host, Allie.
And we have a special guest rejoining us again today, Dr. James Abbott. Welcome, Dr. Abbott.
Thank you both, Matt and Allie. Appreciate the time to talk with you and your patients today.
Yeah,
so we have an exciting topic today. We want to talk about knee replacement, but something very specific with knee replacement that patients are always clamoring and wanting to know, right, Dr. Abbott?
Absolutely.
One of the big questions you get is what?
Yeah, when can I drive again?
When can I drive? I mean,
priorities.
Patients hate, and I can totally understand, losing that independence. Mm-hmm. I'm a much better driver than I am a rider, so I would not do well not being able to drive.
Are you a backseat driver?
Well, you know, it's not good for me to ride. Here's the ultimate exercise in patience I'm going through right now. I'm teaching my daughter how to drive.
Uh-oh.
And so I wish there was a brake on the passenger side.
Yes.
For learners at least, right?
Exactly. But before we talk about what it takes to be able to drive or how long you can drive, I want to kind of revisit, Dr. Abbott just recently gave a talk at our continuing education meeting on robotic knee replacement and kind of some of the improvements. And I know we talked a little bit about it on previous episodes, but I was just really fascinated, particularly in the degrees of accepted variation previously and what it's changed to with robotics. So could you give a little insight to our listeners about that?
Sure, yeah. And I'm sure a lot of listeners have heard about robotics in the surgery, and robotic knee replacement has really been developing over the last 5 to 6 years. It's become much more common now. And what we've seen with the data and the abilities to use computers in surgery to be more accurate is that compared to the way we used to do knee replacement, we were within, our normal accepted position for a joint replacement only 66% of the time. A third of those were sort of outliers that we called, meaning that the angle of the joint was off by more than 3 degrees. With computers now and with robotics, we can get within half degree measurements and within half millimeters. So it really has improved the accuracy of where we place the implant. And now we've learned a lot more about what that accuracy does for patients, especially in the early phase of recovery.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a tremendous advancement. And if you think about that improved accuracy, that's only going to affect the outcome positively. And like you said, initially, patients are going to do better, right?
Yes. What we've seen in several studies now is by the 6-week mark compared to conventional knee replacements, those that are done with robotics tend to move their knee better. They have faster return of strength and function. And at 1 year, their satisfaction is about 10% higher on average than patients who's had it done through a conventional means. So it's been actually a pretty big jump in patient satisfaction scores.
That's fantastic. And I think that leads right into our next topic. We're if you remember the old David Letterman, the top 10 list, we're looking at the top 10 list points of things to think about when you get back to driving. So we're going to try to answer that burning question of patients is, when can I drive? But before we do, there's some things to think about, right?
No, absolutely. Number one, I used to work with a gentleman in my training who a patient would ask him if they could drive. His first response to them was, I don't even know if you have a license.
So, that's a great starting point.
We talk about liability issues and things like that in healthcare and for patients. And certainly, I think the most important thing for patients to remember is, as a driver, a licensed driver in a state, you're responsible to know if you're too impaired to be behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. And that goes with drinking and driving, and that goes with drugs, and we'll talk about narcotics, but it mm-hmm. also just goes with your physical ability to control the vehicle. So mm-hmm. honestly, it's the licensed driver responsibility to know whether or not they should be behind the wheel. We are certainly here to help guide as physicians and as therapy providers to make sure patients do this in a safe manner.
Sure. So one of the things to think about that, you know, it kind of is obvious, but sometimes you miss the obvious ones. It probably matters what side knee you had replaced, right?
Absolutely. Side matters.
Yeah.
Unless you're in the UK or something, right?
Right. Yeah, this is true. Certain special cars.
We have listeners everywhere.
That's right. So at least in our North American model here in the United States, you know, the right side is obviously harder to get back to driving because you have to be able to control both pedals, brake, and gas. Some people still do have manual transmissions, and mm-hmm. certainly that's a lot of coordination between, you know, three pedals, 2 feet, foot brake, and gas. So that, you know, can take really 10 to 12 weeks to get that coordination back and mm-hmm. reaction times. If you think about trying to hold a manual transmission on a hill and start from there.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a coordinated task. Now, well, if you've just had your left side done and you have an automatic transmission, then, you know, most patients, it's really just about being able to functionally get in and out of the car safely and being able to not, you know, be under the influence of other medications, mm-hmm. which would be like narcotics.
Yeah.
So for left knee patients, really within a couple of weeks, they could probably be safely back behind the wheel. On a right side, it may take more time to get that strength and motion back. So usually in that 4 week range.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up the narcotic factor, because obviously that's really important to consider, because it's going to change a lot of factors related to driving in terms of reaction time, coordination, movement. Is there kind of some general guidelines that, you know, if we can give folks?
Yes. So if you look at your narcotic pill bottle as you get it after surgery, you'll see there's a sticker on there that says, you know, don't operate heavy equipment. The pharmacist put them on there for a reason.
Yeah.
And yes, while you take one pill, it is outside of your system. There are certainly studies out there that show there was one unique study done on this narcotics as well as sleeping medication. It was the variation of your car from the white line on the side and how well you maintained that distance consistently. Mm-hmm. So it takes about 6 to 8 hours for the narcotics to wash out of your system after you take one of our typical pain pills. So mm-hmm. certainly that's kind of the window that in that zone, 6 to 8 hours after taking that dose, you're probably at least somewhat impaired.
Yeah.
I think that goes with and without surgery as
yeah,
well.
For yes. sure. Yeah, definitely good to think about. And I think sometimes folks may be living in a ranch, or they may have arranged their house so they're avoiding steps, and they can go right out, maybe down one step, get in the garage, get in the car, and they don't think about where they're going, right?
Right. That's why I say you plan ahead, you know your trip, know where you're going. You know, are you, still using your walker to assist with your walking? Are you using your cane? You know, really, a lot of times that first trip out, you have to really kind of plan ahead and make sure you bring those extra items. If it means, you know, you've been using your cane for a week, but, you know, you're going someplace and maybe the conditions are not as optimum. Maybe it's starting to rain.
Right.
You got to really know those things. So I say, you know, certainly your first trip out, try to make it as ideal as possible. Make it short and sweet.
Yeah,
but planning ahead really does help to know, you know, not to get into trouble when you're out there.
There is no more running in and out of the store when you have a knee surgery.
And hopefully we're moving out of these considerations of weather, but here we are sitting today in March, and we have a winter storm warning. So, you know,
thought we were out of it.
Exactly. I mean, we have had snow on opening day of baseball before, so
right.
Certainly something to think about. You know, conditions can change while you're out. So, like you said, I think that planning ahead is important.
Absolutely.
When we start talking about kind of specific factors to recovery, and we start talking about like needs of strength and range of motion, and are there kind of some, you know, gold standards we like patients to be around?
Yeah, so really the some of the best studies show essentially the strength that it takes to get up into a standing position from a chair and to do it within less than 2 to 3 seconds is usually correlates to the amount of strength you need in your leg to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
So patients, that time it takes to, say, get up and stand from a seated position is really, it correlates to that quad strength and that overall leg coordination mm-hmm. to be able to perform the tasks. So, and I always tell my patients it's best to practice that and to feel like you've got the strength to do what you need to do, especially in a panic situation. You just don't want to put yourself or someone else in harm's way
yeah.
Just by needing to make that trip to the store.
Yeah, and I think the practice is important. As I said, I'm training a new driver, so I know every deserted parking lot where you can practice parallel parking. There are plenty out there, but you know, a good exercise is get up 20, 30 miles an hour, and like you said, slam on the brake. And if that's painful and you're slow and hesitant to do it, it's probably not ready yet, right?
Absolutely. You know, pain inhibition of your strength is real, which means that, you know, if you feel pain, you're not going to be able to perform the task the way you want to. And then your body even kind of starts to learn and to avoid that before, in a subconscious way, you can even really press the pedal. So I've often said, yes, you know, go to a church parking lot in the middle of the week, because those are usually empty. And you can try to find your way through a simulated stop that you know has to happen in a hurry and see, am I really up to this task? And we talk a bit about range of motion too. You got to be able to safely get in and out of the car. Usually that's at least 90 degrees of bending on a knee. Yes, you don't need a ton of knee range of motion technically to operate the pedals, but just, you know, more about the safety of getting in and out of the vehicle once you get to your destination or get back home.
Sure. And on these kind of trips, you know, it's probably good advice early on is not to do a ton of traveling by yourself, right?
Absolutely. And I said, you know, take a licensed driver with you at least the first trip out so you can learn what to expect, because, you know, you're learning more about your stamina with activities after a surgery. And, you know, certain days you may have more stamina and be able to go for, you know, 2-3 hours at doing different tasks. And then the next day your stamina may not be up there. You may be sort of in a recovery mode. And so I think it's important, especially the first couple times out, bring somebody with you that if you need to pull over and switch spots, do the sort of the Chinese fire drill. Then you need to have that option, because I think nothing worse than, you know, feeling like you're forced to push through a situation that could really put you in a bad position.
Yeah, and probably folks need to maybe consider changing a little bit of how they drive, right? Or some of the factors, maybe, you know, they might be used to, you know, well, I don't want to say anything about my wife's driving style because she might be listening. But
we're going to have to edit this out. Sorry, Annie.
Sometimes I can actually read the fine print on the license plates. So,
right. It's true. So it was great that you brought up, you know, teaching your daughter to drive, because you kind of almost have to adopt some of those early styles of driving that you learned, because you need a little extra following distance so you do have time to react to pedals, and you need to plan your stops a little bit so you don't have to jam on the brakes so hard or use up your strength and your endurance. So it may be, you know, a little bit of revisiting those good practices in driving and following distance, planning your stops, not necessarily being so aggressive when you're driving, especially those first few trips out, until you start to, you know, again, feel just like you did prior to surgery. And when you feel like you're back to the strength levels and normalcy, then you can go back to your normal driving habits. But
for sure,
It's good practice just to be safe, especially on the front side, because there's some things that we can't undo in surgery, and there's certainly some things that you can't undo once that car's hit something else.
Right,
God forbid
right.
you create more damage. That's so right. sad.
And you know, we talk about short trips, and I think that's one you know, one of the highlights of our partnership with Best is that Oxford has community locations, so that folks aren't having to travel great distances for therapy 2 and 3 times a week. And, you know, when they get ready to drive, they can make a short 5, 7, 10 mile trip right around the corner to a location.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's paramount, I think, in your recovery to have that convenience and those convenient touch points, especially in the therapy phase, because yes, we can do some things virtually, we can do some things over the phone, but getting in to see your therapist, you know, working hands-on and getting that direct instruction is so important. And having those access points close to home makes sense, because really the best therapy is close therapy, because patients will go, they'll be able to easily attend, and those short trips are ideal for you as you're first starting to gain your strength and your confidence back after your knee replacement. So it really keeps down those risks of, you know, getting too stiff when you first get someplace. Because if you spend an hour in a car, gosh, yeah, you're going to have a hard time even warming up when you get to therapy, versus, you know, coming in still having some of that flexibility from fresh first thing in the morning working with your therapist. So close to home, important, and certainly makes it easy for you to get those first few trips under your belt when you're learning your new knee.
for those that haven't listened to your previous episode with us, will you remind our listeners our partnership and how we got to know Dr. Abbott?
Sure, sure. Yeah. You know, we're super excited. I'll let him fill in a little bit about Best Surgeries and Therapies, but, you know, the idea is that they're going to have a, you know, world-class surgery center, kind of a hub and spoke model, right in the center of town, conveniently located. And then, you know, we'll have the option to support those patients post-operatively in the communities that we're in. And so we're super excited. I think it's a patient-centered model. I think it's a model that is going to be really well received by the community because it's focused on, you know, outpatient surgery with a really focus on clinical outcome.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's our goal is to provide the best options for surgery in the orthopedic realm as well as the spine realm to patients at a location that is easy to access. But we also recognize that, you know, during that recovery phase, patients need to be closer to home. And certainly Cincinnati and in the area in northern Kentucky, it's really covers a large geographic area. So yeah, the partnership between us and working with the folks over at Oxford to really optimize that outcome for our patients is very exciting. We've actually have our first accreditation through the state for our surgery center now and have actually put our first two patients through yesterday. So we're well on our way to establishing what we hope to be is the premier destination for outpatient joint replacement as well as outpatient spine care in the tri-state area.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I think going back to driving and just early phases of recovery, you know, it's always interesting to me. Patient may come in and say, well, I'm sore today and I don't understand. All I did was go to the grocery store, the dry cleaner, get my hair done and, you know, go visit my nephew. And I'm like, well, that was probably like 6 hours of errands and tons of time on your feet. And it takes time to get back to normal, right?
It does. You know, patients, you know, I always say they all have their own unique experience with recovery, especially after knee replacement. And that can even vary from side to side for them.
Yeah.
And they really are encouraged, obviously, to do things after surgery. You know, gone are the days of just going home and laying in bed.
Yeah.
We do want you to get up. We want you to move. We're working to develop with partners even more accurate ways to monitor that at home with things like step counters and so forth. But as this data continues to show, early activity really brings, you know, better result. But I always tell my patients there's sort of a bar each day and you don't necessarily know where that line is, but you start to find out when you go over it or when you've done too much and it means that your peak hit on one day and then the next day you kind of have a little bit of a valley. So the goal really in your recovery is to just kind of get to or just under that bar every day. So the next day you can do exactly the same thing, if not just a little bit more. It really does kind of smooth out that recovery phase.
Yeah. And I think 50% is a good general starting point for folks. You know, if they used to be able to walk an hour, don't walk more than 30 minutes to start. You know, just that 50% seems to keep folks safe. And
absolutely. Yeah. Don't bite off more than you can chew.
Exactly.
But just be honest with what you would normally do and then cut it in half. And I did want to bring up other things. You know, think of your trip with in the car as a form of your treatment and your recovery as well, meaning that when you get home, take time to recover.
Yeah.
Whether that's, you know, putting on some ice, whether that's, you know, massaging some of the muscles or getting out a foam roller.
Yeah.
All those things, it can really then obviously pay dividends the next time you engage in either your therapy exercises or go to do another task.
And I think specifically one thing that folks overlook is the amount of calf muscle force that it takes to drive. And I know everyone after surgery is really counseled and educated and aware of blood clots. And I've had a lot of patients begin driving and they get home and, oh, no, my calf is sore. I must have a blood clot. Well, probably not. I mean, especially if you're at a point where you're driving and you're moving around. But those calf muscles are doing a lot of work when you're driving.
Absolutely. So that is, you know, one of those things we do counsel patients to monitor themselves for blood clots. But, you know, honestly, every patient is on some form of medication as well as, you know, the early activity designed to help reduce blood clots. And while they can be very serious, for the most part, we have a very good mechanism of treating our patients prior so that, any side effects of a blood clot are really minimized. So most of our patients are on aspirin after surgery. Some who do have higher risks for other medical reasons are on even higher levels of blood thinners. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Calf pain, especially after activity, may just be muscle pain. Yeah. It's always good to certainly counsel with your therapist or your doc if you have a question.
For sure.
We're here to answer questions and help guide and direct and make sure that you do have a safe recovery. But you're right. It is, as you start to move and do different things through your recovery phase, yes, there's going to be some muscle soreness that comes, and it's about just getting used to those levels as you regain your independence.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited that we were able to give another great episode of direct access information to patients.
We almost got out of here without it.
You know, I think it's important, as we've talked before, the more patients expect you know, good things to happen, know what to expect after surgery, I think the better and smoother things are going to go. So thank you, Dr. Abbott, for giving the information. And once again, you want to remind our listeners where they can find you?
Sure. So certainly on the web, it's easiest to find us at bestsurgery.com. There you'll find access for phone call information, as well as our location, which is 2001 Gilbert Avenue, 45202. If you need your GPS to get to our front door, area code 513-572-8670. We'll ring the phone, and they'll get you an appointment if you need it.
Awesome. Fantastic. And take a look in the episode notes. We'll share our top 10 list, but we're not going to give it all away. You'll just get to see the major points, and you'll have to listen to hear. So thanks for tuning in.
Awesome. Thanks.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find us online at oxfordphysicaltherapy.com, and you can also find us on our social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Remember, you do not need a doctor's referral to receive physical therapy in the state of Ohio and Kentucky, where we offer double the care for less than half the cost. You can schedule appointments online or stop into any center for a free screen, what we like to call a B-visit. Please write a review, send us a comment or message on our social media platforms, and until next time, keep it moving!